Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Jurgen Klopp gets a reaction from his team as they beat Rangers at Anfield. Spurs fail to bounce back from the North London derby as they draw 0-0 against Eintracht Frankfurt. Chelsea get their first Champions League win of the season, putting 3 past AC Milan. And Man City continue their impressive run as they ease past Copenhagen. And that's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
That's right, Musty. And we have a special announcement. Premier League Mornings Live is heading to Philadelphia. And we've partnered with Sports Engine to give your family a VIP experience on October the 15th and 16th. Enter now for a chance to win 4 VIP tickets with airfare and hotel included. We've got to do a share photo or video of your child's team or their soccer skills to Instagram using hashtag MyPLMornings, hashtag MyPLMorningsSweepstakes, and tag and follow at NBC Sports Engine and at NBC Sports Soccer. Pack your bags fast, that winner is going to be announced next Monday on October the 10th, and one lucky family will be spending the day with me, Mr. Musto, and all the rest of the team at the Philadelphia Fan Fest. So terms and conditions will apply. Okay, my friend, let's turn it to week 3 of Champions League action. Big midweek, I thought, coming into the games, Rob. Just, you know, Chelsea, poor start in the competition. You know, big game for Graham Potter. Liverpool, form's not been great in the Champions League themselves. So just it was a big midweek for a lot of the English sides. And as ever, we got plenty of drama. We got more good results than bad. Let's start off with Liverpool, because as I was sort of watching this game, and you know how you sort of see the Champions League anthem, they go down the list of players. I think there was a shot of Steven Gerrard and Sir Alex Ferguson. It all started to add to me, Rob, that this was a big night. This was a proper European night. Rangers, we weren't sure how, you know, quite what level they were going to be, what kind of test it was going to be. But it felt like an important night. And we only had to look at the team sheet to realise Jurgen Klopp felt it was an important night, because, you know, the first big news of the night was he changed the system, Rob, something we've talked about in the past, but something we hadn't really seen.
Yeah, I think what I'd certainly said before, Rob, on our podcast was, like, you know, he needs to address the goals against. I mean, I know we can say it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and the team, and maybe Sadio Mane's pressing, whatever's missing. Like, okay, you got to do something, change something. And he did change it. Basically, what that meant is that Thiago played alongside Jordan Henderson, Rob, in midfield. That was the two part of the 4-2-3-1 formation. Jota played in and around Darwin Nunez, who was a number 9, Mo Salah to the right-hand side, and Luis Diaz to the left-hand side. And I liked it. I liked it. Now, when you look at the team, Rob, you can look at it in two different ways. There's a little bit more protection there for the back four. Yeah. There's certainly a little bit more protection for Alexander-Arnold, because when he goes, and he's going to continue to go forward, there's two players. One of them can absolutely fill over to the right. You know, if there's just one holding player, one number 6 or whatever you want to call him, that's a kind of a big move for him to, if the two number 8s, the guys are out the picture, it's a big move for him to go across there. So I liked that. And I think Henderson does it really well. He's an intelligent player. Trent Alexander-Arnold, we'll get onto, still did his thing going forward. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. The only thing, Rob, when you look at it another way on that system, is that you've got Mo Salah, Jota, Diaz, Darwin Nunez. I mean, that's 4 out-and-out attacking players. Now, they'll work. We've talked about that. Mo Salah will work and Luis Diaz will work. I thought he worked really hard again. But whether he'll go with this system going forward into the Premier League, I don't know whether it'll be a bit reticent, given you're playing with, like, 4 defenders, Trent's like a midfield player, 2 holders, and then another 4 forwards. I liked it, again, for the reasons given. And I thought it worked really well. I mean, Rangers a little bit underpowered against Liverpool, Rob at Anfield. And the days gone by, we've seen some brilliant, brilliant games between the Scottish teams, you know, Rangers and Celtic, and some of the big boys in England. But, you know...
Remember Leeds... Playing Rangers, what 1 year, didn't it? It was a good Leeds team. Rangers came down and battered them.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, a big, big club. I mean, I don't know whether our... You know, it's a side note, isn't it, about the Scottish League and the size of Glasgow Rangers and Glasgow Celtic.
Where would they fit in the Premier League now? I mean,
All we'd say, Rob, is they are giant football clubs. And I'd love to see them come down and somehow play in English football and get to the Premier League. Because with the money, Rob, and support, that would be a good watch for the league, yeah.
Absolutely. But as you say, I thought Rangers were almost perfect opposition for Liverpool on a game when Liverpool, as you said, were trying out a system. I like the system too. I thought there were some nice rotations at time, Nunez and Jota, particularly from that central position, once or twice. Diaz comes in from the wide position. It's interesting with the four sort of forward players behind two holding, and I thought Jordan Henderson was outstanding in terms of getting across and whenever there was a hole there, just blocking it off, you know, where people are looking to hurt Liverpool when Trent goes forward. So we can then see the best of Trent. We can then see Trent in those attacking areas when he can make a difference in the brilliant free kick just almost highlights how much technical ability that this young kid has and why you'd want him in and around your England squad, you would feel. What I was wondering, Rob, and I know whether he'll keep it in the league, he talked after the game, Klopp, of liking the system and liking the way his players adapted to it and took it on board. Is could we get back to a Liverpool press from the front with those four? So, okay, we might lose a little bit of defensive stability, taking a man out the middle and whether, you know, you're not quite as protected. But if those four go hunting the ball, if those four can start a press, then behind them, you've got two midfield players and Trent coming in. All of a sudden, that kind of feels like that could be interesting for me.
I agree, mate. I agree. And I'll tell you a couple of other things. I mean, to continue on that point, the system was a little bit different, but they were hungry. They were aggressive to win the ball back. Lots of, repossessing of the ball in the final third. An extra hunger of winning the ball back that we haven't really seen. They've gone away from that. And one other point before I forget it, Rob, in terms of the system, is that I think when they play, you know, with one holding player and a Harvey Elliott or a Thiago, then I think at times with Trent making crazy moves, runs inside, centre forward, outside right, I think it looks a little gung ho. It looks a little gung ho. And with the four and the two, it's a stronger foundation. What they normally do, as you can imagine, is two centre backs, one holding player. It's like a triangle that will get around any attacking player in the centre. This gives them a box of four players to do the same thing. So I liked it. And just to continue your point about the pressing, I think it's a great point. And I think they're all willing to do it. I think they're all willing to do it. All the front players that played in this game are willing to do it. So, yes, it might look more attack-minded because you've got the four players out there. But given the way the midfield players are playing, why not? Like, why not? I think they're great without the ball. You've got Thiago and Henderson to get through if you get through the press of those four players. And then, of course, you've got, you know, whoever's back, two or three players, but assuming that Trent isn't most of the time. So I thought it was back to basics, different system, hungry, aggressive. I thought Darwin Nunez, Rob, I know he needs a goal pretty badly. Charges around. He's desperate to do well, and I think he will. There's a couple of opportunities.
He's got energy, hasn't he? There's a good energy about him that I think is quite infectious. Just on that, Rob, and I was looking at the point because it was interesting. I was looking at the bench at one point, and then you see Fabinho, I think, will come in and can fit in and out as we saw. But Fabinho, Rob, it's an interesting one. If you were thinking you're going to have two holding midfield players ahead of four, Fabinho would probably in the past have been your number one choice. Is that just lack of form you think that's got him out? Do you think in time he would be part of that, you know, him and Hendo maybe? Or to be honest, you lose a bit of creativity. Thiago can get on the ball and once or twice he can come from deep, Connie, and he can see a pass. He can be a little bit more creative than we've seen. Is it the first time maybe Fabinho's going to have a spell where he might not be first choice?
Maybe, but I don't think it'll be long. And I think it's really interesting, Rob. If you think about potential opponents for Liverpool, if you're really worried about the counter-attacking threat, then you play Henderson with Fabinho, right? Yeah. Again, knowing that you've got four out-and-out goal threats ahead of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Thiago is great to have in there. You could have Thiago Henderson for some games. You have Thiago for Fabinho for some games. Players that might miss out a little bit is going to be Harvey Elliott. It's going to be Curtis Jones. When they're fit and available, I'm not sure whether they can play one of those two double-holding roles maybe they can grow to do that. But I kind of like the options of Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, two of those three to sit behind and say to the front four and to Trent Alexander-Arnold, that we should get onto now, Rob, go and do your thing. And also fullback on the other side. It was Tsimikas.
Yeah, Tsimikas does pretty well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So they will be encouraged maybe a little bit more to get forward. Depends how the game is. So I really would like to see Jurgen Klopp stick with this for a little while, even if it's just the next few games to get some stability. Again, like, you know, you can say it's only Glasgow Rangers and you know, it was a comfortable game at Anfield, but I kind of liked a lot of what I saw in general, not just those changes. What about Trent?
Trent was everything I know about Trent, what he can be. Scores a brilliant free kick. Can get in those. He's playing, obviously, higher up the pitch when he goes. I thought he picked his moments better. Didn't think he went too many times. Thought, obviously, Henderson did a good job. We've talked about going over and filling that gap when he did go. Trent was Trent, Rob. And I think Trent almost answers the questions. This is where I am at the moment. His man just talked about he's got to improve his defending if he's going to be a top class player. Which I still think there's work to be done, but going the other way on the pitch, he's a match winner, Rob. In a Champions League level football game, this guy can change the game for you.
Yep, and he's outstanding. I mean, I couldn't love him anymore with the ball at his feet. Not just the obvious stuff of free kicks and crosses, but in general, Rob, in the game at right back. He did have pick out some passes, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, like reverse passes into strikers and first-time balls into space. And just a very, very talented player. I thought, given the pressure that must be around him, Rob, all the time from all corners, from England flipping comments and Liverpool not doing great. You know, I thought his reaction after the goal was kind of classy. Didn't go crazy. Didn't sort of give it all this with his ear or, you know, he didn't run anywhere to throw it in anybody's face. He is confident in his own ability because he knows what he can do. And we heard it from Jurgen Klopp, Rob, last week. We talked about it a little bit where he is asked by Jurgen Klopp to play really high, to almost be the first line of defence, the first line of pressure. Mm-hmm. So there will be times where his attacking player gets in behind him. Again, that's why we liked Jordan Henderson playing alongside him. So I thought, you know, given the situation with England, with the right-backs at the rears, I thought he couldn't do any more than that. And, I mean, there's individual defending moments that, you know, as his manager said, he's 23, he's going to get better. Mm-hmm. But I thought his reaction, his response, I suppose, into this game was top class. And he is a brilliant, brilliant footballer. No question about that.
On the matter of him, and I agree totally in terms of sometimes, you know, the composure that he shows and you say the quality of his passing on the ball at times gets people don't appreciate.
No.
But one person I have to mention, and he was the captain, and I was disappointed that came off, and he played in a two, took the responsibility of filling. Jordan Henderson, my friend, and I heard him after the game talking a little bit about being the captain of Liverpool, and, you know, it's been a difficult period, and he's saying how at times he doesn't want to be barking at people, but he talked about in the first 10 minutes of the game, actually, he gave Trent a rocket or two to fire him up and get him going. So he gave a couple of balls away. He talked about sitting in the dressing room at times and just sitting and talking with players and motivating them. And I just thought, you know what, this is the step we talked about it before, about modern day captain's Rob. And he's a modern day captain now who goes about his business and he says, he understands his teammates. He gets to know his teammates. He gets to understand the things that motivate them. And I just sort of think he's a very special individual, Jordan Henderson. And it was interesting because he said, you remember the start of his Liverpool career, he was getting quite a lot of stick and people were suggesting he wasn't good enough and you know, he was going to get the captaincy. And he said, I took all that and remembered some of those times and have helped Trent get through a difficult period. So it was an interesting conversation with Jordan Henderson after game, just talking about responsibilities and how football's very different, how social media's changed a footballer's life. And, you know, everybody has a comment. Everybody's got a criticism now, and there's no getting away from it. So,
Where was that interview, Rob? Was that after the game?
After the game, yeah. He did it after the game.
Right. A couple of players I want to mention, Rob. One for great or good, one for not so good. Luis Diaz, again, the run and the dribble for the penalty. I still do, if there's a player in this team that I really want to do well, it's him. I don't know why. He's such a likable player because of his hunger and his work ethic and his never say die. And his mental kind of state in games, I think, never goes down. It's always super positive. I thought he played great from the left-hand side again. And I get that a lot of people talk about Sadio Mané being missed. Well, I mean, he's getting goals. He's producing. You can't say he doesn't press as well. So I really, really liked his performance. And the last one that I want to mention in this game is Mohamed Salah. Now, he gets the goal with his penalty. Yeah. And great. You know, he's thrilled and stuff like that. I'll say what I think, and I'm going to throw it over to you. Now, I don't know if there's some... I mean, we know there's a couple things changed with the team and his contract and all that. He doesn't seem quite as hungry/greedy to score. Mm-hmm. Hungry/greedy. Now, that, you know, again, I'm throwing stuff out there. You know, with a different striker that's trying to get goals, Luis Diaz is trying to get goals... Is it, you know, the fact that there's a certain guy in the league that's ripping up in terms of Ballon d'Or is going to win the flipping, is going to be ahead of everybody else. Is he lost a little bit of desire to score? And that hungry bit and the greedy bit, Rob, edged on completely.
Well, he got criticised at one point about that, but he was also one of those standouts. I mean, you're right. I mentioned, I think, when we did a boot room on Sunday and we talked about players, and I said, it's great years and there's many, you know, I think he'd had two or three Premier League goals at this stage. But I said, for me, Robbie, he's not been the same player this season. It's not. And the hunger, despite the skill, the speed, the ability to finish, the hunger was a big part of Mo Salah.
Well, yeah, it's his desperation to be the best, the top goal scorer.
Desperation to score goals and be the guy. And when that goes, he doesn't quite become the same player.
No.
And I don't know. I don't know if that's something that you pick up. I don't know, something that dips, or maybe like not even thought about the Haaland thing, and maybe thinking like, well, that, you know, that's gone already. Mm. But something I think we've got to watch for. Times we'll look out. And if, you know, you got to remember these Firmino, these Jota, these Diaz, these Nunez now, and Salah. I mean, these five players for. Possibly three positions at time, four if you're changing the system. And Mo Salah...
He used to be number one on the team sheet. I'm not sure he is
without
now.
Without doubt.
He's not now, is he?
Diaz would probably be number one right now, I would think.
One more thing before we move on, Robert. I want to get we'll have a quick line about the big game against Arsenal at the weekend. I just want to give a shout-out to Alan McGregor, the Rangers goalkeeper.
I've got the same note. I thought it was outstanding.
He's 40. He's 40 years of age. Been around a little bit. I think he's had two spells at Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah, two spells.
Was a Scotch Natting goalkeeper. I mean, it could have been...
74 appearances over two spells.
Is it? Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I thought he kept him in the game first half.
Absolutely.
Tons of really good saves. A real pro. Yeah. Loved by the Rangers fans, I'm sure. I just thought he... You know, I know we don't always get to...
Yeah,
you know, other teams when we do some of these
breakdowns. McGregor deserved a mention because I thought they were a little disappointed until the last 5-10 minutes when a couple of subs came on and livened it up a little bit. I was a bit disappointed in Rangers, I've got to be honest. They'd have a little bit more of a go. We'll see how the return leg goes next weekend. But yeah, good shout for Alan McGregor. The game at the weekend, Rob, is interesting because. Yes, the win was important for Liverpool and gets them a little bit. There's a little bit more hunger and desire, but in recent years, Liverpool have almost it's Arsenal. Yeah, we'll deal with that. It hasn't really been a big hurdle for them in recent years.
Yeah, different now, isn't it?
I think it's very different. It's very, very different. I think despite the win, and I know Arsenal are playing in the Europa League tomorrow, and I would expect that will be many of the players who are not starting in the first team. I would think there's more confidence in the Arsenal camp than there is in the Liverpool camp right now.
Yeah, I get that, but I think this was really good for Liverpool, Rob. And I know maybe they should have scored more goals. I know it's only Glasgow Rangers from the Scottish League, but I think they'll take a lot from that game. And again, thinking about the system and how Arsenal play, love to see with two holding players again. I think the same team. Maybe Firmino will come in as an experienced player, Rob. I think maybe Darwin Nunez might jump to the bench. So you might see that. But I think it's a really interesting game. I mean, talk about a dangerous team. If Arsenal think that they're the real deal, and things have changed because, you know, on the face of it, at the moment, it's different where Arsenal at the top of Liverpool aren't. Yeah. But we've seen nothing. There's nothing to suggest that Arsenal won't be at it. They've been at it every single game. Manchester United, of course, they lost, but in general, they played well that day. So I think it's a fascinating game, Rob. I think any result wouldn't surprise me. I think if we were going to have a bet, like one of our jokey bets in the studio, we'd probably say one of us got to take Arsenal, one's got to take Liverpool. Nobody gets the draw. Because sometimes
draw, it'll be no like, bet.
Draw, no bet.
Go on, then. Go on, then.
Well, I think...
Go on.
I'll take Arsenal. You're talking yourself into Liverpool. No, I'm just saying it's a tight decision.
Yeah.
It's a tight decision. Yeah. You would take Arsenal?
I'll take Arsenal.
All right, I'll take Liverpool. Draw no bet. And it's an even money bet. Like, it'll be $10 or whatever, and we'll see. I think it's tight. I think it's going to be a tight game.
Listen, it is tight. I mean, and it'll almost be like if Liverpool do go that way, both teams playing similar formation. Yeah. Both teams want the ball. You know, turnovers are going to be incredible again.
Yeah.
But I just think Spurs, having got over Spurs, who many thought were the team that set up to hurt Arsenal and getting through. And no, Spurs went down to 10 men. But the football that Arsenal played in the groove manner and the little thing, I'm happy to go with the Gunners on
it. I think if I'm looking at Mo Salah, running against Alexander Zinchenko, I kind of like that on any kind of transitional turnover. I would kind of like Darwin Nunez to run at Gabriel if there's any kind of turnover. I'm just kind of saying how this side of the bet we're going to have, you know, that there could be joy for Liverpool. But we'll see. Brilliant game. I mean, that's what...
Exactly. Those same arguments were being put last week of Son and Kane and Richarlison, and they came through it. So, it was a great test, great game. Let's see how that one goes. A friendly dollar in it for
winning. Yeah, why not?
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Let's move it on, my friend. Okay. The game on Tuesday was Frankfurt versus Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs coming off the defeat in the derby would want to go and get... at least a point in the game. They got the point. No goals scored. A frustrating evening, pretty much, for Spurs.
Yeah, frustrating, Rob, but a little different. A little different because, first off, what a great atmosphere, by the way. This stadium, I think it's 50,000 people in there, like famed for the atmosphere and the fans and stuff. So I thought that was... I enjoyed it because of that as well, the atmosphere. But it was different because Eintracht Frankfurt, Rob, you know, they don't really want the ball either. So it was a game where Spurs had a lot of the ball. It was there for them. The game was there for them. I mean, it's just a little bit different. I mean, when you look at 0-0, right? And that will always be, that's the score, right? That's what happened. But my goodness, the amount of chances and opportunities they missed, Rob, particularly Harry Kane in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been three where he's sat on the ground thinking, how didn't I score that? Now, I think in general, they're too safe, Spurs. But when those front three players start to combine, they combined really well. They created the chances by themselves. Mm-hmm. I still think that this team lacks, and I hinted, I think, at it last podcast, it lacks a number 10. It lacks a playmaker. Yeah. It lacks that link. It's got three centre-backs. It's got wing-backs. One's a steady Eddie wing-back in Emerson Royal. Did he play in it? I can't remember.
Yeah, Royal played.
I think he was.
Persic left. It was the same team that played against Arsenal. Same team.
Yeah. And Sessegnon, is he going to... If you don't think Emerson Royal is going to give you an assist, no. Three centre-backs, probably not. Perisic, yeah. All right, okay, from the left. Mm. Two midfield players, are they going to give you an assist? Are they going to regularly give you an assist in the team for the season long? No, not really. No. So you've only got three players to create and score the goals. And I think you can look at a lot of the other teams. And I'm not just talking the best teams, Rob. I'm talking about Brighton or other teams where there's a lot more players that can add to the attacking output. So listen, the front three did okay and this everything right apart from scoring. But I just wonder if Antonio Conte is tempted at some point to leave, in certain games maybe to leave one of the front three out, play with, like we saw in the game, the last game was it when they went Leicester. To two, was it Leicester game?
Yeah, Basuma came in.
You know, no, I don't know if it's going to be Basuma, but they might have to get somebody else to be that link, that creative part. I think that would help them immensely, Rob, in general. But again, that's a bit of a side note because this was different. They should have won this every day, every game. It was there for the taking. The frustration, in my opinion, if you saw it differently, that the frustration was that the front three did a lot of good work themselves, just didn't finish it off. This should have been 3 points for Spurs.
Yeah, and if you're going to play that way, if you are basing your whole tactic and way of playing on being defensive, being deep, and those three, they've got to get the goals up. They've got to score the goals, haven't they? Because everything is built on those three doing that. And if it doesn't, we get results like here. And it was the same, you know, I watched the highlights package and I didn't see all the game in fairness. But as I'm watching and chances being taken, I'm thinking about, like I say, either a number 10 or a kind of proper number 8. A Frank Lampard-esque number 8 who's going to make runs in the box, who's going to get onto a couple of things and maybe, you know, toe poke one in from 6 yards because he's got a good eye for goal. Just feel they lack a little bit of inspiration and ingenuity from somebody who's not those front three. And listen, the front three we know on their day can be top, top class. You know, as good as you can get in Europe. But if though any of them are having a bit of an off time, then, like you say, I don't see where else. Emerson Royal, Rob, I'm at the stage where I think it's time to make a decision. Another thing, he's a good enough defender. Don't think he's good enough in the last third. His final ball's not good enough. How many times they worked him in and got in and he shanks things, he doesn't quite find the right cross. You see Trent yesterday, you see Rhys James today, you see what that level of quality of wide
The difference it makes when you've got one of those in a wider area.
Emerson Royal is not that guy. And, you know, bless him, I know he's worked hard. I know at the moment he's in favour, but in that system, again, you've got to get somebody who's going to be a little bit more productive for you. Even if they can't defend that well and your shape's not bad, when you get forward, you've got to be able to deliver a ball or pick somebody out in the box.
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Conte, I think didn't he have to sort of like, I don't know, it was after the game of the weekend, he kind of justified himself a little bit. You've got to trust me, you know, I'm a winner. I can teach a lot of people about football.
Yeah. So,
We see what he's all about. And we've said this before, Rob. There was one chance for Eintracht Frankfurt where they could have scored from like 5-6 yards out. There's an opportunity. Yeah, yeah. So it's not as though Spurs are super solid defensively. Mm. You know, there's kind of like sneaky issues, you know, with the defensive side as well. Again, we've talked about a lot. Yeah. So they're grinders. They're grinding. We said this on match
one or two. That's one tick in his box. And then... Yeah. As he said, you know, you can't win a game without scoring a goal. So he's now looking at, was it 10? I think it was 10 shots, one on, only one on target for both.
Yeah, I think was I think up to some point there was no shots on target. But that's where that stat
doesn't quite tell the story.
Because Kane missed them like 3 yards out of the ball, in front of him
on one.
There's a couple of shots that went wide and stuff that were close. So they had good chances to score and win the game. And I think they'll be kicking themselves because that, you know, with that atmosphere, not an easy place to go, but they bossed it. And they looked okay with the ball, Rob. They looked okay with the ball, you know, and it changed a little
bit. It'll be interesting next week, Rob, when they have ball and at home and have the fan, you know, the noise in their stadium, you know, will that boost them on to go and get that, you know, go get that goal, one or two goals early in the game, that opens things up for them.
We'll see. I mean, there's not much else to say. I mean, I just thought it was a little different because, my goodness, like 0-0, you think, oh gosh, Spurs. But they another day they could have won this game easily. It was a bad day for the front players, and normally that's not the problem with Spurs. That being said, I still think they could do with a little bit of sparkle, bit of magic in the
A little bit of something in that match.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus. A Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Team that ended up winning reasonably easily was Chelsea at Stamford Bridge today. Chelsea 3, AC Milan 0. Another big game, another anticipation. Graham Potter got his first Premier League win at the weekend at Palace. And a lot of eyes on the game today. Chelsea needing a result to keep themselves in with a chance of going through and obviously go to Milan next week. Again, I was a little disappointed in Milan. I thought Chelsea were well set up, got the goals at good times. I thought AC Milan started the game reasonably well, and I thought, this is going to be interesting. But 10, 15 minutes in the game, I just felt like they dropped off, went deep. Chelsea dominated, got the goal, and Fofana from the corner, where obviously AC Milan's zonal marking just didn't have a clue what to do. I think the first three corners came in. Yeah. Thiago gets his head on the ball and eventually, he gets the goal. That point on, it always looked as though, as long as Chelsea weren't silly, game management was good, good possession of the ball, they were going to run out winners. And again, talking of English right-backs, Rhys James, Robert played in Wimbledon, was outstanding, I thought, today against Leao, who's a decent, difficult player, you know, many are looking at in Europe, I believe Chelsea are even looking at one of those Portuguese winger, but I thought Rhys James just mentally was too strong, physically too strong, and put his game on Leao and shows you what a quality wide player can offer, and the difference maybe between a Rhys James and a Emerson Royale.
Absolutely right. I was interested, Rob, in the way they played because I'm fascinated by this, and I'm fascinated by Potter's switching of stuff. And tactics. And I think he does it deliberately, Rob. I think he does it deliberately. I think it keeps people sharp. I think the bonus, of course, is that opponents don't know how they're going to play. 4-2-3-1 in the last game.
Yeah.
Can't remember the first game, but something a little different. This was back to pretty basic, simple to see formation. Three at the back, four across midfield, and three spread across the front. Mount to the left. I mean, it's case in point. I mean, Sterling's been left wing back. I think he's been up front on the left-hand side. He's been on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side of a front three in this game. Bamian in the middle, Sterling to the right, Mount to the left. So I kind of like that about Potter. It's different to what's happened before. If you think about it, Rob, right? Say if the players are getting frustrated and the results aren't coming, Potter's going to chuck something in. Where before on the Thomas Tuchel, when it started to get a little stale, there was nothing different, was there? It was like, oh, here we go again.
He'd often go same for same. He'd take one wide player off and put another wide player on.
Like for like subs, but the same slow kind of build-up. Three goals for Chelsea. Again, Milan were disappointing. Yeah, I know, you know, some of the better players are out injured. But I just think there's a little bit, apart from the switching things around, which is going to be keep the players on their toes, interesting and different and tough to kind of play against. I think there's just a little bit more desire to score, to get forward. I got to say, I mean, Raheem Sterling, Rob, and I just think I'm such a big fan of Raheem Sterling. I just think he's such a nuisance. He's such a consistent player, a consistent performer, always up for it. Big heart, good ability, gets opportunities. He should score more. He should get more goals than he does.
Sometimes technically he's a little...
Yeah, his technical finishing isn't perfect. But I just like his versatility. Obviously, he's had good success, by the way, everywhere he's been. He's done it everywhere he's been, Liverpool to Man City to Chelsea.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. And I know that some people aren't, and and they get frustrated. I just think he's such a good player. Bamian gets his goal. Yeah, go ahead.
I spent a day with Chelsea the summer. They were at UCLA training. Was invited up, was able to watch things, had 20 minutes with Tuchel, and it was really interesting. The first thing, he was talking about players coming in, and I think obviously Sterling had signed, Koulibaly was close, they were looking at one or two others at the time, and the first thing he said, which just kind of took me back a little bit, where he just went, gosh, I didn't realise how good a player Raheem Sterling was till I've worked with him. And it was like, wow. But, and he just said, his hunger, his touch, his ability, his winning the ball back. He said, he's such a good influence on the rest of the group. And it's when I think it's when people in the game and people who are working with good, with quality players say things like that, that it does sort of put you on your heels a little bit. And I agree. And I think wherever he plays, he's a much more mature footballer than he was back in the day. I think he his timing of his ball into James is perfect. He sees things much more creative in his game, not just for himself. I think he used to almost just play for Raheem Sterling. Now I think he's very much a team player. And can play any one of those three positions up top if needed, central if needed.
Yeah, anyway.
Can play in because he's been well grooved and well skilled, probably under Pep, to be interchangeable. And I think great bit of business. Aubameyang's another interesting one, Rob.
Yeah.
Two and two. Right place, right time. Lovely ball from James, gets there, finishes. Again, I looked at his record, mate. 129 Premier League appearances, 69 Premier League goals. I mean, that's virtually one in two for somebody
We know that, though, Rob. We know that. Yeah. I mean, there's no surprise to anybody. He's a
seems like he gets on well. Heard Graham Potter say about it. Looks like he's great with the boys in dressing
room. Any problems in the dressing room? Any lateness issues? The stuff that was working down everybody's...
That because I'm saying, if you maybe got to handle him a certain way, maybe the lads around him a different way, but looks happy. Listen, some may say, wait till it starts going wrong. But I just think he looks to me, Rob, like a player with a little something like he's got left to prove. That maybe the way he left Arsenal wasn't good for him and didn't put him in a good light. And he's going to come back and show people that he can still score goals, but he can do it in a much more controlled manner with a good group. So I just thought he's been... He could be the player that Lukaku wasn't for Chelsea in the centre forward, who plays down the middle of the park, who will get you goals if you give him service.
Yeah, and also with a different manager with maybe a little bit more of a different impetus on the team to play forward and to cross a ball that Lukaku may have appreciated Potter more than he did Thomas Tuchel. A couple of little ones, Rob, for you. Where's he, Fofana? Interesting.
Goal and an injury.
A goal injury. And I remember early on, he came out with the ball, tried to do too much, got caught on it, got sacked on the ball. They almost scored on the counter-attack. Then he goes forward and scores a goal, and then he gets injured. First off, really hope it's not a bad injury because he's had a ton of bad injuries. But a player that could be superb for Chelsea, I think he's going to need managing, Rob. Like it's a couple of times now where he's kind of trying to dribble out, trying to do a little bit too much. I know he's good at that generally. But I thought he had a kind of a bit of a wild, crazy game of looking great, giving it away, scoring a goal, and then getting that injury. And one last thing I want to say.
Hasn't he got a guy next to him who can do that, though, mate? Thiago Silva, who's an absolute...
Brilliant. Yeah, he's brilliant.
I think it's 99 Champions League games he's played now. He plays 100th in San Siro against ACU. He obviously played for before. Yeah. I mean, if anybody can teach him, he could teach him. If anybody can learn off, Fofana could learn off him, Rob.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, every time I watch Thiago Silva, and I'm not going to say anymore because I said it for ages about how great he is. He's like a midfield player. He could play in the middle of the park in any team because he's so good on the ball and his distribution.
Makes good decisions.
I mean, I love him. But I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. One last thing, Rob. I'm going to have a little moan here, mate. I'm going to have a little moan.
That's not like you, my friend.
Well, I've not had a moan for a little while. This has been bugging me this season. 70 minutes on the clock, 3-0 to Chelsea, tons of subs for Milan.
Five subs.
And four, I think four subs. I think it's three from Milan, four from Chelsea. Game over. Game over. Yeah. And then we get this, I tweeted out, then we get this kind of like weird little thing where people are running around, you get this weird little game for 20 minutes. Now, are we all right with this, by the way? And it's all because of these extra subs. There's five subs now. Yeah. And what basically teams are doing is that when a game is kind of out of the balance and it's kind of done, the game finishes.
Yeah, getting people off.
Because they want to get people off because they can now because the big club's got their way and they've got these extra five subs all the time now. It's in European football, of course, it has been, but it's also in the Premier League. The fans, I just think the fans, if I'm there, right, and I want to watch the best players and the best team, I kind of want to see them, most of them for 90 minutes. Now you're going to get a game of 70 minutes or whatever, 75 minutes, all the subs come on, totally different. And it's like the game's over. The whole tempo changes. I think we're seeing this, Rob. Not just this one. This was a great example, Chelsea-Milan game. It was a great example of it. But there's been other games in the Premier League where I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Four or five subs coming on.
Well, it was interesting in the derby. It happened in the derby. City was 6-1 up. Bork made four subs. But then, you know, United got two goals back. Now, maybe if that was a 3-0, 3-1 game, maybe something different. But I hear what you're saying. I just think the big clubs and the big managers... Now with the amount of games and obviously playing every 3 days, Rob,
What's changed in the last decade? Why is there, more games now?
Well, a World Cup in December is changed and the amount of games that are going to have to be squeezed into this period is different.
All right. So if they... I guess we can suck it up for one season, given this a crazy season, maybe extra games where not normal. But in general, this is going to continue. We know that now.
The big clubs have got something that they're not going to let go of. And it was always the case. And I remember Sean Dyche coming out for his little old Burnley when it started and said, yeah, of course the big boys want it because they've got all the big players on the bench. They can shut a game down and the little teams are not going to be in a position.
Yeah.
And...
They change your team.
Again, that's flexing the muscles of the big boys, mate.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. We'll see if it goes. It might just be me being a miserable, moaning Brit, which I know I am. Let's just keep our ear to the ground on that and whether people, fans, are okay with the star players leaving after 70 minutes because they've done their job and some others come on and you get this kind of... I don't know. Anyway, let's move on, mate.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus. A Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Well, I didn't see the game, but Man City, at half-time, made a substitute. Erling Haaland came off at half-time, having got two goals, and I think they were 3-0, I think, at that stage. Yeah, I think it was 3 at half-time. Ended up being 5-0. No surprise in the scoreline. No surprise at Haaland with a couple more goals. That's 19, mate, in all competition. We're in the first week of October. I'm sure he'd have been disappointed. He wasn't able to get another hat-trick just to add to those, but... Obviously, being saved for a game at the weekend, which is home to Southampton. Probably going to get another six goals, by the way. It was City being City. It was Copenhagen. Every time I saw the clips of this, it was the Copenhagen coach job looking at the iPad on the side of the pitch, scratching his head and looking at his coach.
They got more men than us. They got more men than us.
What else can we do? But City being City, Haaland getting more goals. The other thing that they're starting to hit, I watched all Haaland's goals back the other day, just before the derby, just to get a sense now. How many times he's either off the ground, like side-footing that big, heavy side-foot, or one-touch finishes in the box?
One-touch finishes. Lots of tappings.
Yeah, he got the tappings there. You talk about hunger, you talk about Mo Salah. This guy couldn't be more hungry for everything. But the one-touch finish is always is better technique than people think because it's hard to hit a ball sometimes first time as it comes to you. It's understanding of where to be and what position you are because you don't need a touch to stop it or set it up. And getting your body addressed to the ball, the angle of the ball, is the ball high, is the ball on the floor. This guy does all those things as naturally as I've ever seen a forward. In Premier League history.
Yeah, you're right. And the other advantage, of course, the huge advantage, is that goalkeepers hate it. The first time finishes in the box is where goalkeepers They can't get set. If you take a touch, they can kind of move their feet. They can kind of read what you're thinking, where you're going to put it. First time finish is the hardest for them. And we see it at the weekend, didn't we? The left foot for his hat-trick goal.
Big left foot, yeah.
I mean, this one with his right foot on the other side just sweeps it into the back of it. I mean, every time he pulls his leg back and strikes the ball towards goal, you expect the net to bulge. I mean, again, are we going to be this every show, Rob? Are we going to be like
It's getting a bit tiresome, isn't it?
They win games. I mean, where are we with Man City? I know Copenhagen, maybe it's a bad time to think about how great they could be. Could they go unbeaten in the Premier League? Something our producers chucked in there and like, good shout. Like, they could go unbeaten. I mean, anything's possible with this team, Bob, with how special the team was. Then you add this crazy striker.
There's an off day in everybody, Rob. There's an off day. The Premier League, there's an off day. We've seen with Man City, we've seen this before. Group stage of Champions League, Pep still to win one, mate. So,
I know.
Those are all the things that are the questions. Is he the X factor that makes it different? Could possibly, you know, the Real Madrid game when they were 4-3, I think, at the time. He might have scored two more goals.
Maybe they're going to outscore everybody.
And whatever. But, listen... We haven't seen a streak like it. We've not seen a player like him.
No, we haven't.
We talked about it the weekend. And
when everybody says it, Rob. When everybody says it, wherever you want to listen to your punditry or the games, whichever country. I mean, people are saying exactly the same thing. As like, this is kind of crazy that we've never seen nothing like this. So that's when this is abnormal.
To add to that, Rob, I heard somebody saying like, anywhere in the country, if you get a chance to go and see him, go and see him. It's that good. It's that big.
To see him live with the size of him, the power and the speed. Yeah. And the...
which is Ronaldo-esque. This is Messi-esque, isn't it? Whenever they played in Europe, people just want to go and see them. Mm. I think Erling Haaland's getting to that stage. And
He's 22, Rob. He's 22. Crikey.
Lots of football. Apparently, it's his dad's lasagna, isn't it? Daniel Gafiotov put out that his dad was secret. His dad bakes him a lasagna the night before the game.
Man. Jeez, we'd have known that. If we'd have known that. My wife can make a great lasagna as well, by the way. She makes a pudding.
Yeah, but you didn't get 19 goals in your first game in October. All right, mate. Let's move on. Let's wrap things up here with. Let's just quickly go to Monday night, actually, because obviously we did our last podcast on the Sunday. Yeah. Game came after, didn't it? Leicester, Nottingham Forest, East Midlands derby, which wasn't the biggest derby of the weekend, but important to both managers for a number of reasons. Brendan Rodgers, bang under pressure. No wins so far this season. Nottingham Forest, with all the amount of players in and things going particularly wrong for them. Steve Cooper under a little bit of pressure. Leicester do Brendan a favour, courtesy of James Madison, who was outstanding on the night. Leicester 4, Nottingham Forest 0. Get the sense that a bit of breathing room now for Brendan. Steve Cooper, on the other hand, Rob, there's a bit of talk that, you know, something might happen there with the ownership.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't. I think, you know, there's talk about Rafa Benitez, Rob, isn't there? Like, I driving home from the studio and the phoning's already started. Like, there's rumours that he's getting lined up.
Sean Dyche got mentioned as well, didn't he? I think.
Give him some more time to sift through this. I mean, give him some more time to try and find the right way. It just is a bad look, Rob, when they got smashed through the midfield in a very simple tactical malfunction of the team. Where Leicester's, I mean, bright. Leicester can be bright. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers is bright. Madison played right side.
Man in there, didn't he?
And he just came inside all the time and then no answer to it.
He took both of the field players off, didn't he, at half time as well?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be able to react to that, haven't you? Or have somebody tell you, why don't we just put another guy in midfield? Like, let's fill up this area. So that wasn't a good look for Steve Cooper. No. But I hope he gets to the World Cup. Give him some more games. Yeah. I mean, but I think this Marinakis, the Greek owner, also the owner of Olympiacos, I think he's already fired his manager this season, I believe. Olympiacos owner as well. So I think he's got a bit
of a chief scout from Watford, by the way, as well, which obviously means plenty more business is coming in. And Watford just alarm bells straight away, like, managers.
Yeah. Outplayed. Leicester City, well, the only thing I'd say, like, where's that been? I mean, if you're a Leicester fan, I get it. It's an East Midlands derby. It's Monday night football night. It's a big night, Monday night live football night in England and UK. They know the cameras on them. They know the pressure on the manager. You know, they know that they had to perform, and that helped them. Alpton with their intensity, with their football, with their pressing, with their work rate, not so open, more compact, really, really good. Let's see it every week. Let's see it every week before we start to say, oh, Brendan's okay for a few weeks.
Just quick one on last thing on this one. Well, first of all, contrast between Jesse Lingard and James Maddison. Oh, right. Couldn't be any bigger. James Maddison still got an outside chance for England? Is there still hope? There's Mount, there's Foden, there's Grealish, there's Sterling, there's Jude Bellingham. Could he find a little spot?
I really hope so, Rob. I really hope so. Because I know what's going to happen now. I'm telling you right now. Where are we in now? We're in flipping October. I'm telling you what's going to happen right now. In key moments in this World Cup for England, we're going to lack some sparkle. We're going to lack a little bit of creativity, a little bit of quality. Yeah. James Maddison can bring it. And I think he can bring it in any game at any level. Probably off the bench for the way that Gareth likes to play.
Yeah.
I'll throw it back to you. Who would you rather have in your team or to come off the bench?
Well, yeah, it's a
James
squad,
Maddison.
In the squad,
James Maddison. No, but who's he going to come in for the squad for then?
No, I'm saying as James... part of the squad, though, rather than my team.
But I'm giving you a choice here for the squad. I'm giving you the choice of James Maddison or Jack Grealish. Who are you picking for the England squad?
Jack Grealish.
I'm not.
Jack Grealish would have played himself in a bit more form, I think, as well. I think he's confident. He's playing with a bit more confidence, Rob.
His numbers, Rob, are still not great. Maddison's numbers are great. Goals and assists. He's buzzing.
Yeah.
Jack's still got to bring that. Yeah, but
I would still have Jack. Yeah. I think I'd have Jack.
Yeah. All right.
Interesting.
Okay. Interesting.
Before we fall out any further, let's just go to Tuesday's results. Bayern Munich putting 5 past Victoria Plzen. Porto 2 by Leverkusen 2. Ajax 1, Napoli 6. That was a crazy one, wasn't it? I think Ajax went 1-0 up in that game.
Napoli decent. Top of the Serie A.
Going well at the moment.
Yeah.
Marseille 4, Sporting Lisbon 1. Alexis Sanchez getting the equalising goal for Marseille. He went on to win there. Forgot that he was even around. Club Blues 2, Atletico Madrid. And Inter Milan getting a 1-0 win against Barcelona, mate. Inter Milan have not been going so well in Serie A, get a good result at home against mighty Barcelona that had Lewandowski, that had Rafinha, that had Dembele as a front line.
Yeah, again, we saw highlights of that. Really nice goal from Inter. Was it just before halftime? Moved inside, lovely touch to get out of his feet, pulls it back, sticks it in the corner. Yeah. And then they had the big penalty shout, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah.
The handball.
The handball.
Dumfries, I think it was a defender that the VAR couldn't figure out from the images that he actually handled the ball.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a joke, to be honest, VAR-wise. But no, I mean, they're still recoverable, I think, for Barcelona. Mm. But there's a good 1-0. Yeah, and other games, Rob, and we can't go through all of them. Celtic lost to Leipzig. Sevilla was struggling. Lopetegui, it looks like he could be coming to Wolves.
Sevilla,
they lose at home to Dortmund 4-1. Benfica, PSG 1-1. So it was a little bit of drama, a little bit of pushing himself on afterwards. Neymar in the middle of that, I saw. They scored a lovely goal. Messi scored
a beauty. Won it. Messi,
see that goal? Beautiful goal. Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar Donetsk 1. Oh, gosh, whenever I think of Shakhtar Donetsk, I think of that area of Ukraine that's getting, that must be an incredible, tough for those people there. I was in Donetsk in the European Championships in 2012, and a beautiful little town. Juventus 3, Maccabi Haifa 1, and Salzburg 1, Dinamo Zagreb 1. That's kind of a roundup of the scores, mate. It's the next round, isn't it? It's next week.
Yeah,
it's kind of reverse, isn't it?
The reverse games of where you were home or away this weekend. So next weekend, So, and then we start getting down to the nitty gritty as we, obviously with the
qualifying
season, everyone wants to get done before the break and make sure they're through to the group stage. Listen, mate, another action packed midweek, Champions League action. Liverpool got back to winning ways and won the Battle of Britain against Rangers. Man City hit Copenhagen for 5. Haaland's got 19 goals now in all competitions. Crazy numbers. And Chelsea overcame what I thought was a mediocre Milan at Stamford Bridge. We'll be back on Sunday, October the 9th, when we'll look back at the weekend of Premier League action. This is Arsenal host Liverpool and Everton face Manchester United. See how they recovered from the goal. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.